How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Yeah, Degen Nation fam, you know exactly what time it is. It's the Degen Nation podcast coming at you live here, powered by the Fantasy Authority. And we are excited to break down the Week 12 main slate with you guys, a 10-gamer, as we have six teams on bye this week. Another fun slate. We've just talking pre-show about how soft the pricing is, and that could possibly be because we are right on the cusp of the Thanksgiving slate, which you know is a fan favorite here, been a staple of the Degen Nation podcast for some time. So before I welcome the boys in, I'm just gonna break down the schedule. We're gonna talk about this Week 12 main slate for you guys, which is gonna be bananas. Can't wait to chop it up with Maddie and Kev. Then on Tuesday, we're gonna be talking the main slate. We're gonna be welcoming in a friend of the podcast, Mr. Derek Brown himself. We're excited to have him back, popping it up once again with us. It's been since week one, boys, since we've had D-Bro bless the people with his sultry voice on this airwave. So excited to talk about that three-game slate with him. And then we'll be back, regularly scheduled programming, to break down the Week 13 main slate. So a fun week here for the Degen Nation podcast. Lot to cover, lot to get after with you guys. And we're ready to make your pockets a little bit fatter for the holiday season. So what's up, boys? Welcome in. Maddie D at Maddie DFS is where you can find him on X and Twitter. The Godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Ref 13. Boys, we got a Week 12 main slate, a 10-gamer, which has kind of been the bread and butter for the league this year. That happy medium of what we get with the 10-game slate right up until, the Thanksgiving slate, which is going to be bananas. But how you guys doing over there? How you feeling about the slate, and how are you attacking it this week, Maddie?
We were blessed, early in the year with a lot of fun main slates when teams were healthy and, we had full normal quarterbacks and actual receivers that have ceilings. Now we've gotten to the bottom of the barrel now that we've got, Brandon Allen and Tommy DeVito on the slate this week. Both are mid price quarterbacks. So we'll talk about that, but it makes the week interesting. There's not a lot of high upside spots. I mean, I feel like every week we get, these good offenses that are playing really bad defenses. And, I just kind of want to load up in those spots. I mean, we talk about it, Ryan, and Kev last couple of weeks, right? The Lions just continue to play, bad defenses, and you just continue to load them up. Last week, I think the Millie Maker winner had every single Lion, on their team. So it's just, you can never overstack these teams that are going to score 30 plus points. And I think there's a couple this week. We'll talk about it, but I definitely, the Lions were pretty much a lock for 35 plus last week. They scored 50. So I think there's a couple teams that can flirt with the 40s this week, but yeah, we can break it down.
Yeah, and as we welcome in the Godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele. I mean, Kev, this is a slate of the ages for you, my man. We got min price quarterbacks, we got min price running backs. Just you know, a lot of free squares potentially. I'm not going to necessarily call them that, but it's always fun to talk about the bottom of the barrel guys who actually, you know, have some juice to them and that allows you to jam in all the dudes. So, you know, Kev, with that, with the way that DraftKings has set up this for you this week, how are you feeling about the slate as we talk of Friday going into the weekend?
Like, I think there's certainly definitely spots to attack, but like, I think it's like one-sided affairs, right? Like, the Lions have the highest team total on the slate with 29.25. That total has been bet up to a 50.5 point total. That's the highest on this slate. Then you have game like the Commanders who are around 27.75. Then you have the Dolphins who are at 27. The Chiefs are at 20, almost 27. And then you got to kind of scroll down a little bit to get all the way down to the Packers, which I think that could drop a little bit more because now that game environment has completely changed with Brock Purdy being out this week. And, the 49ers are like the stone cold worst about reporting injuries. Like they did this with Chris McCaffrey, right? Where it was like, oh, you know, we think he could be back here soon. We think he'll be back. And then all of a sudden he's put on IR and he was out forever. Like it feels like, in the next week, we're going to hear that Brock Purdy goes on IR and he's out. Like, I don't know why they just can't be honest, but anyways, so that game, that looked kind of fun to play, maybe an attack with the Packers and 49ers doesn't really look that way anymore. And then the Cardinals game against the Seahawks, like both of these defenses are playing better football recently. Since the Seahawks have traded for Ernest Jones, their run defense has gotten a lot better. And then the Cardinals have just been a sneaky defense for most of the season. Like the people are just completely, I think when everybody sees the Cardinals, they're just, oh, their defense is bad. And they just stick with the same narrative they've had all year. And that just really hasn't been the case. I mean, outside of, I think one game against the Commanders really early in the season where they kind of got boat raced a little bit. But other than that, like this has been a really solid defense this year. And so this isn't necessarily I think definitely the game is playable. It has a 47.5 point total. I'm not saying that it's not, but like it's also a divisional game. Those games get a little bit weird. I mean, just look as last week with the Steelers and the Ravens, everybody wanted to play them. This game environment looks awesome. The Ravens defense is terrible or their secondary is terrible. Russ is going to throw all over them. And then they end up kicking a bunch of field goals. Like, so like that game just has some weird vibes to it a little bit. But and then, you know, the Bucks game looks interesting, but that total has dropped all the way down to 41.5. The Bucks only have a 24 implied team total. The Texans game, that doesn't look great. The Texans total has dropped by 3 points already. That total has dropped down to 40.5. So like it feels a little bit like last week, right? Where like maybe just trying to find that one spot where that you just love, like the Lions last week, where it made all the sense in the world. Yes, we were concerned about like the Jaguars being able to do anything, but if the Lions have proven anything, which is not, this wasn't just a one-off thing where they just kept throwing the ball. Like they were up big, and then all of a sudden they started to really air it out. And I mean, I remember it was like 38-6, and it was a 4th-and-3, and they went for it on 4th down and scored another touchdown. Like they will just do not stop. Like, and so that's like one of the best environments you can have because you're not as worried about, you know, game script getting out of hand and then this team just stop throwing the ball. Like they continue to throw the ball in that entire game. So like that game is definitely live and in play, but like I don't think there's a ton though of spots this week where the entire game environment feels like one that could just go absolutely nuclear.
Yeah, it is. Like you hit it on the head, Kev, you know, kind of with just the large spreads and things like that. It's definitely been tough to kind of tuck yourself into game environments that you want to attack. And especially, Kev, I'm happy you brought up that Steelers-Ravens matchup from last week because we kind of talked about it here. You know, I mean, Lamar Jackson was at 8K and kind of the one quarterback who I felt like we all weren't going to get to. And, you know, he had been nuking slates, but it's just like it's a divisional game. And he really hadn't had a great history, against the Steelers in his career. So, you know, on the other side, you know, when it's a divisional game, you know, it could be, you can see the output that we actually saw, but everybody wanted to attack that game in fear of missing out. And so now that, you know, that game environment disappoints, and then you have a Detroit team that's, you know, implied to score all these points, and they actually go out and put 20 more points up than they're implied to score. You know, you could definitely see people kind of chasing, these teams who are, highly implied to score, you know, on a slate instead of attacking game environments. But all year we've kind of talked about it, especially on this podcast, of if you're going to bet on a game environment, just take that game environment, load up on it, and hope that it nukes. Because if you are right, then, you know, you're looking at a, you know, Baltimore and Cincinnati situation that we had kind of earlier this year. So I think that's what makes the slate fun, is there are those games that, you know, really jump out of page where you can take like 6-7 pieces, maybe even 8 pieces from the game and really feel good about your build. So let's talk about let's talk about quarterbacks for the Week 12 slate. Let me just get DraftKings up here. For those of you guys who are rocking along with us, even if you're just new and you're just like, who are these guys that are going live on my YouTube channel talking DFS? I like what I'm hearing. Week 12 main slate here on the DGEN Nation podcast. Link in the description to get in the Discord. You can follow along on the social channels. Love to have you guys. How we do it here, we break down the slate from a DraftKings perspective on the slate. We'll go through the positions. We'll build a lineup and get it live for you guys. So appreciate everybody who's rocking with us live here on a Friday night. Quarterback position is very interesting. We did get that news about Brock Purdy, which I was actually surprised that they were releasing the news. I expected that to go into Sunday, the way that they handle injury situations. But we are going to have Brandon Allen, a guy who's kind of, you know, been in the league for a couple of years, I believe in Cincinnati before backing up Joe Burrow, is going to get his chance to start with Joshua Dobbs backing him up. Brandon Allen is 4K. We have Danny Dimes, a guy who is Kev has always liked to talk about on this podcast.
Shout out Vanilla Vic.
Years and years and years. He is now released, looking for a new team, and that's going to get in Tommy DeVito, Tony Soprano for the New York Giants at 4K to be able to play around with them. So two, you know, bottom of the barrel quarterbacks that you know, people are going to be able to play in order to jam in the studs. And, you know, this is actually a slate where we don't have a normal star-studded lineup as we are accustomed to. And even then, like the studs, there are some studs who are well underpriced than what we have been accustomed to seeing them at. So it's like this might not be a slate where you need to go that cheaply, but it's always going to be potentially in play. You know, the highest priced quarterback is Jaden Daniels. I expect him to be popping, you know, in optimizers this week. He's 7K only as the highest priced quarterback, and he gets to face a Dallas team that literally has just been, you know, a wrecking ball for opposing everybody, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. It doesn't matter. These guys can put up points on you. So I, you know, definitely will be popular there. Not sure if I'll get to him though. I kind of like the running back situation better for Washington, which we'll talk about. Kev, you talked about it, but Geno Smith is—he's my favorite quarterback, I think, on the slate as it currently stands right now. He's 5,700, and I do hear you on the Arizona side of things. I think that defense has been live. Geno actually, in his time with Seattle, he really hasn't put up, you know, must have games for the Seahawks against this Arizona defense. I believe he hasn't passed for 300 yards against them as of yet, but the way that this offense has been structured this year and the way that they've been having a pass first approach with his pass attempts being, you know, really great things that you want to see from a DFS standpoint. I think this is live to really pop off here with the home game against Seattle. They're coming off of that high of a late game score from him to beat, you know, their foes and down below in San Fran. And now they're playing another divisional opponent. I think they'll be ready to go, you know, getting the unit back healthy there. JSN's been incredible. Metcalf's coming back strong. I really think it does make sense to pay for those doubles. And I think the way that you play Geno is you need Arizona pieces on the other side to get it going. So I love kind of attacking that game environment. I think the other guy for me, who's just a couple of $100 cheaper that I'll have interest in 3 max, is Drake May. Drake May has been absolutely phenomenal. Like, this year. I phenomenal might be a little bit of a stress, but he's been, you know, pretty, he's been great for the Patriots. I think they love the fact that they were able to get this kid in and get him involved. And he's playing with, you know, not the top tier talent at wide receivers or anything like that, that his other counterparts get to do so. But, you know, he's got that rushing upside, which is incredible from a DFS standpoint. He's been keeping him in the games as of late. And the games have actually been interesting. You know, there were those duds with Chicago and Tennessee, but, you know, 20 points there against the Jets, you know, kind of putting up multiple scores against the against Houston earlier this season, and then just coming off that Rams game with the multi-score, almost getting to the 300-yard bonus there. His pass catchers are so cheap to stack him with that I think that's viable, and they're going against a Miami team where we know they can put up points in bunches as well. So I think that he is a lot of fun to stack with. And then, you know, at the high end range for me, or I guess not at the high end range, but when we're talking about the 6K range, you know, there's not a lot that stands out the page for me. I do have interest in Kyler Murray at 6,200 on the opposite end of that game. The reason being is because I could just take Geno's pieces with JSN and Metcalf and play those dudes, get the production there. But, you know, you could really pay that Arizona side, which really need Arizona kind of controls that game. And if Murray's getting there, you know, we talked about it with James Conner getting there, and you might not have to play his wide receivers. You could play a tight end with him and really make an interesting build with Kyler Murray. So I think that's where I'm at right now. Maddie, you know, maybe you can talk me into some Bo Nix. I know you were on him last week, and Bo Nix was absolutely incredible last week. It just kind of got lost in the shuffle with all the Detroit production popping off. But where are you at, Maddie, this week with your builds, and how are you attacking quarterback so far?
Yeah, we kind of talked pre-show, but man, the more I think about it, I just want to continue loading up on good offenses that are playing bad defenses. And an offense that I think nobody's going to touch outside of the running back, and I think is a mistake, is Mr. Godfather's team himself, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know, Ryan, you probably didn't think I was going here, but
yeah,
we really haven't seen a ceiling game from Mahomes in a long time. But, I mean, he's playing the Carolina Panthers. I mean, what's to say he can't throw for 300 yards and five touchdowns and the Chiefs win that game 38-13, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we just haven't seen it. And if the touchdowns do come, I mean, we saw the Tampa Bay game was the last time that we've seen a semi-ceiling out of Mahomes, and he scored 25 that week. He took Kelsey with him for 25, and he took Hopkins with him for 25. So, you know, we know the stack is there. And also historically in the weeks that Mahomes has hit like that 35-40 range, he's taken the running back with him because the running back can also catch receiving touchdowns from Mahomes. So like everybody's just going to play Kareem Hunt, which I think Kareem Hunt is just probably the best running back play on the slate. Pacheco is probably not back this week, even though he's practicing. So this should be the Kareem Hunt show. He pretty much a lock to score a touchdown, I think, whether that's receiving or rushing. But, like, what if the touchdowns just come through the air instead of on the ground? You know? I mean, yeah, you're getting a $6,800 Patrick Mahomes. He's currently projecting for 3% ownership. He's one of the few guys on the slate that, I mean, ignore what he's done the last, you know, 12 to 18 game logs, and just think about who he is and you know, the touchdown scoring talent he has around him. And, I mean, he's one of the few guys on the slate that can throw five touchdowns. And it's an ugly slate. And if you get that, you know, you're so far ahead of everybody else. I mean, we saw it last week with the Lions. You know, they just scored so many more touchdowns than everybody else. You just load up their whole team and you know, you're passing everybody. So I like loading up Mahomes with Hopkins and Kelsey and Hunt and just playing every Chief. Because if you're going in on the Chiefs, you just go all in on the Chiefs and hope that they score, you know, 35-40 points, which it's possible. So I like Mahomes this week. I feel like I haven't been on him recently, and this is a spot I'm getting back on when nobody's on him. Outside of that, I love the Geno Smith call. I love that game in general. I just think it's one of the few games this week where there's good offenses on both sides of the ball that can push each other. You know, every other game we talk about, you know, there's concerns on one side of the ball, right? Like, we just talked about Kansas City, how they can smash Carolina without needing anybody on the other side. But you've got Minnesota at Chicago. Like, that game just feels really gross to me. The Minnesota offense hasn't looked great the last couple of weeks, and on the road outside in Chicago, not ideal. You got Tennessee at Houston. I mean, the Houston offense hasn't looked great. I know they got Nico Collins back last week, but they still struggled to put up points on a Dallas defense that's not been very good at all this year. And they really scored points last week because Dallas just couldn't move the ball on offense at all. So they're playing Tennessee, and we know Tennessee's offense is terrible. Then you got Detroit at Indy. That's a game that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a wild card, right? Like if you get a good Anthony Richardson, that game could go to the moon. So right. I do like the idea of playing Anthony Richardson out of that game and running it back with a couple lines on the other side. I'd say Amon-Ra and Gibbs would probably be the two. And even you could talk me into Jameson Williams as well. Those would be the three guys that I'd consider on the other side. But New England and Miami, I mean, we've talked about it, right? Like Tua just has no ceiling. And his ceilings are always like 23 points. And he's not cheap in terms of what other value we have at the quarterback position this week. And so it's like you can play that entire offense just by playing Achane and Hill, and those guys can smash even without Tua doing anything. Like we've seen those guys score 30 plus together, and Tua only gets you, you know, 18 to 20 points. Like there just isn't a correlation there with Tua. Tua correlates with Waddle typically, because when Waddle smashes, that means Tua is smashing. But Tyreek and Achane can get there by themselves. So like that game, while Drake May, you know, it's kind of an, you know, I do like Drake May. I question, you know, how much New England can push them, but you know, if they can, you know, maybe it's a Drake May with Hunter Henry and run it back the other side with Achane and Hill, you know? So that game's kind of interesting. But I mean, outside of that, you know, it's like Denver at Vegas, San Fran with a backup QB at Green Bay, Dallas, Washington's a one-sided affair, Tampa Bay and the Giants with DeVito at QB and, you know, Mike Evans coming back into the fold to make Tampa Bay side a little murky. So
yeah,
there's just not a lot to like for me this week. So I'm going to chase the upside teams and, you know, the two that really stand out, are Kansas City and Miami for me that are going to smash.
Yeah. And love that you brought up Mahomes before we can get it to our resident, KC guy over there. In Kev, Kansas City aholic, but you know, with Mahomes, Maddie, does it? You know, Noah Gray's involved, and you know, Justin Watson's out there, you know, catching balls. I mean, they are turning into an offense that is just like, who's the open guy, and we trust them, and that kind of is what scares me to play Patrick Mahomes against a team like Carolina, because things should just come at such ease to them that it's like he doesn't need to lean on his, you know, normal guys like Hopkins and Kelsey. Like I almost like playing those guys when it's like Buffalo or the Bengals on the other side, when you know, okay, it's like a game that this team has to get up for, and like it's going to be back and forth. Mahomes is going to go to his trusted guys. Like those are the guys who are going to get peppered in a game like this against Carolina on the road. Like, do we just see all these other ancillary pieces get worked in and like, it's just whatever, it's just a free for all. That's what kind of worries me about the Chiefs, because we have seen them have the propensity to just do that in any type of games. Right. So it's just been a weird year for them in general.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think that, you know, is the way that the Chiefs spread the ball around this week is, you know, you just have no clue who's going to catch the touchdowns. I mean, you can just play Mahomes with Hunt and just say, look, the Chiefs score 42 points. They score, you know, six touchdowns. I have all six of them on my team between my quarterback and my running back.
Yeah.
I don't really care, you know, who they go to. Justin Watson can catch one. Noah Gray can catch one. They can, you know, get the big man tackle eligible, you know, and he can catch one, you know, just weird stuff can happen. And we've seen the Chiefs do that. You know, so it is very possible that, you know, that Mahomes can get there without, you know, overload stacking them. I just like the idea, you know, that Chiefs are playing against Carolina, you know, and, you know, Tron brings up a good point. You know, we haven't seen a nuke spot in a while from them, and they've, you know, last couple of weeks out, they've had tough matchups. I mean, against Denver is not easy, and against the Bills is not easy. You know, it's been two duds back to back from an offensive standpoint, and there's just not a better spot for them to, you know, really just I mean, they've been so close on Xavier Worthy, you know, scoring deep touchdowns over and over again. And it's like, what if two of those hit in the same game? You know, Worthy catches four balls for 150 yards and two touchdowns. All of a sudden, you know, Mahomes is throwing for 404. And it's like, damn, I didn't play Mahomes against the Panthers, you know? So it's, I don't know. Every time I think about wanting to play, you know, am I going to play Brandon Allen or Tommy DeVito? I can play Patrick Mahomes for, you know, a little bit more. So it's just one of those slates, you know, where people are going to do some weird stuff, and, you know, the weird stuff doesn't always win. And sometimes it's the straightforward stuff that wins. And so, you know, we saw that with last week with the Lions, and, you know, we were all in on the, on saying, you know, having at least one Lions running back, right? And you know, Montgomery ended up being the one that outscored Gibbs. But, you know, you just go all in on the Lions last week and you just win all the money. So I'm not going to get cute with it this week. I like the Chiefs a ton. I like the Dolphins a ton. That Arizona and Seattle game is a fun one. And then you can obviously play Detroit guys as well and Washington guys. That's pretty much, I think, where I'm going to keep the majority of my pool is to those teams.
I love it. Godfather, come on in here. Talk to us, man. How you attacking the slate? How you starting it off with your quarterback build?
I mean, I think just from a surface level, I think just having interest in the Detroit and Indy games, I mean, it's really hard, because if there's a game like on this slate where you say, okay, I could see this game just going, you know, going off, this is probably that game that's on the slate. I know that the Colts, you know, obviously, but I think you have to like what Anthony Richardson was able to do last week. I mean, he was somebody we talked about last week as a play that I brought up as a $5,300 play last week, and he hit. And because he checks all the boxes of things that you're looking for. I mean, he has that type of ceiling. He runs the ball. He can get rushing touchdown, which is huge on DraftKings because of the 4-point touchdown. And it just, the question is, can he repeat that? Can he keep that going like he did last week? But because if he can, then I think this game could just be the nuts, like the one you had to have. Yeah. And where you look back, so, oh, well, you know, I should have had this game. Because there's no other game that really stands out to me like that. Like, I guess Arizona-Seattle would be the only other one that, if that game went, you know, was a 31-28 game, would it surprise me? No. That's probably the only one. Because everything else, like, there's just not – a lot that stands out as it being like, okay, can the other side get pushed? And so, for example, like, I actually don't mind the Chiefs call. Like, I actually think that that's possible, that this could be a game where, especially Chiefs coming off a really rough loss, you know, on the road, where they kind of, I mean, they beat themselves, but like they just never really look good. Like, their offense never really looked good outside of one drive. Like, they need to kind of, you know, figure all this stuff out before they head into the playoffs. I've said the same thing, though. The Chiefs also just don't really give a shit about the regular season. They don't – they're not – there's so much stuff. Like, I was looking at – there's some guys that I watched. They're local, that they do a lot of film breakdown, and they were showing it time and time again. Like, the Chiefs just weren't – the Chiefs didn't show anything in this game. Like, that was their plan. They weren't going to show anything to the Bills. They kept it extremely vanilla against them. You know, defensively, you typically see, like, Spags, like, make a bunch of different changes on the offense. And or on the defensive side of the ball, he didn't do any of those things. And so, like, it's just kind of what the Chiefs do, and it's frustrating for a lot of people that are, you know, that whether it's season long, whether it's DFS, when it comes to this team, is this kind of what they do. They really don't care about the regular season. They're just going to do whatever they can to get through, and then they move on. And once they get to the playoffs, they turn that switch, and, you know, they become the Chiefs again. And so, I definitely think there's the spot here, because, like, we have seen – so, like, I was kind of looking, like, when's the last time the Chiefs had a nuke spot, right, where they just went out and just crushed somebody? It was last year. It was against Ryan's Bears, where they won 44 – it was, like, 41-10, and they absolutely just pimp-slapped them. And Mahomes threw for almost 300 yards, three scores. It was – funny enough, running back got two receiving touchdowns. It was Jerick McKinnon. It was Travis Kelce. Like, that, because I think that was also, like, a big, like, that was, like, Taylor Swift's, like, I think one of her first games. It might have been her first game there at Arrowhead, because it was early last year. But that was the last time the Chiefs just absolutely smacked around a team. And this game does feel like somewhat like that, right? A bad team, bad offense, bad defense, you know. And so, like, it really wouldn't surprise me. And the best thing about it is, though, It's like last year, I'm sure you were probably paying $7,500 for Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
You're not paying that now. Like
Patrick and Mahomes, $7,000 for Kelce.
Yeah. Right. Kelce's not expensive. D-Hop's not expensive at all. He Worthy's not expensive. Worthy's not expensive. Like everybody's cheap.
Hunt's not expensive.
So like, it is a very
pricing is just insane this week.
But like, nobody's playing them. Nobody's playing them.
But it's just like across the board, Maddie. Like there's too many undervalued players. Sure. But yeah, I mean, like, what are we doing? Like, why is Travis Kelce 5,800? Mm-hmm. Like ever, honestly. Like, even when he was struggling earlier this year, they still had him in the 6K range. You know, like, let's make us think about it instead of like forcing us to jam this dude in. Like, what are we doing?
Maybe they're getting less of the rake or something. I don't know what's going on because they severely drop prices on a lot of players. There's not a lot of like, so that's what everybody talks about. I guess that's kind of the decision point for the slate because I know there's going to be people that are interested in playing Tommy DeVito. There's going to be people that are interested in playing Brandon Allen because they're so cheap. But like, is there those players there that you need to pay up for? You know, like if we're being honest, like at wide receiver, like, yeah, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's interesting, but there's certainly ways that he doesn't get there. I know he was when we're talking about a week that he just went nuclear last week, but that's not something we've really seen from him this year. It's been much less than that. Justin Jefferson, like sure, Justin Jefferson can always get there, but like, is he like a must play? Like, is he somebody like I gotta have Justin Jefferson in my lineup this week? I don't think that it is. Nico Collins, same way. Malik Nabers, same way. Mm-hmm. Like CeeDee Lamb, definitely not. Tyreek Hill, there's an argument to be made, but we keep chasing it. We are now in week 12, and we are continually chasing this nuke spot for Tyreek Hill that hasn't come. It hasn't come at all this year. Like, we haven't seen it once from him this season. And that, sure, certainly it can happen at any moment. But I also feel like there's a real shot. They just put Christian Gonzalez on him, which is what they did the first time they faced him. And just he shadow covers him the entire time. And so, like, that's a little bit concerning. But, like, we continue to chase that. Don't get me wrong. I keep playing Tyreek Hill, too. Thinking that the big game's going to come. But it just hasn't. And so my point is, though, is like, is there really any reason? Like, do we need to pay this 4K price for a quarterback? Like, there's no, like, just smash plays, in my opinion, that are super expensive, at least the way that I feel about it right now. Like, I definitely think that, you know, like, even a running back, right? Like, Devon Achane is somebody I definitely want to play. Christian McCaffrey, all the tape bros that have watched him, I haven't, but all the tape bros that have went and watched him said he does not look like Christian McCaffrey. Now, it is a small sample size. But in the two games that he's played, he doesn't look explosive. He doesn't look like that guy. But now you have Brandon Allen. Like, it just doesn't feel great of a spot for him. He's 8,500. He has to absolutely smash to be able to kill you. And then you drop down to Joe Mixon, who Joe Mixon's obviously been phenomenal this year. But, like, I'm not going to argue against him. But, like, so then after that, it's like, who else? You know? And so, like, I don't know if there's a – I guess what I'm asking is, do you think there's really a need to play those guys?
No, not at all. Mm-mm. Not at all. I mean, yeah, Allen is more interesting to me, to be honest, because of the pieces that are around him. Like, I get what you're saying, Maddie. Like, DeVito makes the easy stack. And even then, like, Tampa Bay's been a defense that we've targeted before. But, like,
right.
To me, it just seems fairly thin to think that, like, Danny Dimes was that much of a problem that like he's going to have an output if you know there's points being scored in this game that just all of a sudden make a difference. I mean, yeah, I guess if he can get the ball to Nabers 20 times, if the guy does suit up, then that's interesting. But like, there's just like when you're stuck with the rest of the salary off of the builds with these guys, like you know, Allen could help you to get to like McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle, I guess, if you were going that route and playing, you know, two pieces from the Green Bay side to get to salary. But I just don't see the need for those guys when we have soft pricing all across the board with other players in great spots as well, too.
I agree. I just don't see the ceiling for them, you know, and it's like, this is a slate where it's kind of gross across the board. And there, while there's not many ceiling spots, I definitely think there is, you know, one or two quarterbacks that will flirt with the 30-point threshold. Yeah. I don't think Allen and DeVito are.
For sure. So, like, if DeVito and Brandon Allen get 15, is it enough? I don't think that it is.
Gets 30. If the rest of the slate, like, the highest quarterback was, like, 23, yeah, 15 is good enough.
Yeah.
Not if it's 30, because then that 30 is taking receivers with him, and, you know, that game stack all of a sudden just wins. Or team stack, whoever it is, right? Like, if you're like, let's say, let's just hypothetically say it's Kansas City, right? And you go, like, let's just say you go Mahomes, Worthy, Kelce, Hunt, and you just load up Chiefs. Mahomes throws for 350 and five. You know, even if you're playing DeVito, you're not playing, you know, Worthy and you know, guys like that. And Worthy goes for 150 and two, you know, like it, there's just the range of outcomes on those outlier games just don't lead you to the path of like, I'm not playing DeVito so that I can play, you know, the Chiefs secondary pieces, right? Like if I'm playing DeVito, I'm playing Christian McCaffrey. If I'm playing DeVito, I'm playing, you know, loading up Seattle, Arizona, like Walker and Connor and DK Metcalf and those guys. It's like, there's just going to be a very similar build to if you play those, if you play those quarterbacks that are cheap, because everybody's just going to play McCaffrey and everybody's just going to jam in, you know, Amon-Ra and guys like that. So,
The only thing I'll say in response to as well as Tron's question, and I bring it back up, is that talk about like do what Detroit did. I will say this: there is zero chance the Chiefs will ever do that because that's not Andy Reid. The second that they get, that's what's the most frustrating thing with the Chiefs is they don't do that. They do not have that like killer instinct of like I'm going to put my foot on your throat and I'm going to just continue to pound the ball. Like the Lions last week literally just took the soul from the Jaguars and just kept kicking the shit out of them. Like just kept over and over again. The Chiefs do not do that. Like if they get a 3-point or 3-point, if they get a 3-score lead, they will completely pull off and they will barely throw the ball. And most all they're going to do is just run the ball, get the game down. Like that's what they do always. And it's like been the most frustrating thing when it comes, because the Chiefs have allowed so many teams to come back on them. Now they haven't lost those games because that's what Andy Reid does. Like that is his MO. Like even the game where they won 41-10, it all happened in the first half. They scored all their points, but seven in the first half, and they scored one touchdown in the third quarter, early in the third quarter, and that was it. Didn't do nothing the rest of the game. And so that's just, you know, that's just what the Chiefs do. And so, I mean,
yeah.
So that's the only thing that I'm concerned with. Like, if it's going to happen, it has to happen in the first half, or somehow the Panthers were able to keep it somewhat close. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, one score game, but at least they're making an effort to keep it somewhat close. That's the only way that I can see it happen.
Yeah, the good news is it's not an Arrowhead. It's in Carolina. So that is one thing that the Panthers do have going for them. And I mean, the Panthers have won back-to-back games, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they played the Giants and the Saints, but I mean, still.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, too, that like we could talk about with Kansas City is like they were just on this, you know, win streak, which whatever you want to say about it, but like they still, you know, is there something to be said about pressure about winning games? And now that they've lost the game, it's like, all right, well, yeah, we got that like monkey off of our shoulder. Like we know what we're about. Like we can play more freely now. It's the Carolina Panthers. Like
I think too, like one thing that's a positive I'm happy with that the Chiefs aren't playing like the Chargers or something next week, right? The following week. So there's no opportunity for a letdown because the Chiefs do that as well, where they come out and play like shit against a team that they never should have because they were looking ahead to a big time game the following week. So at least I'm happy about that. They play the Raiders next. So that's certainly not something that they're going to be looking ahead from. So I definitely think it's possible with Mahomes. Like, I definitely like the call. Like you don't have to talk me into that ever. I will say the other spots that I definitely do like though are, I mean, like I said, the Lions game. Whether you want to go golf, I think Anthony Richardson makes a little bit more sense because he's cheaper. He provides something with his legs, home matchup. So I do like that. And then I definitely like Kyler Murray. I don't understand at all, like zero, why Geno Smith would be getting steamed up and not Kyler Murray. Like it makes zero sense to me whatsoever. Like Kyler Murray has, like Geno Smith has shown very little of a ceiling. Like he has one game this year where he scored that 28. But other than that, it's a lot of like low 20s type of production where two of the last three games from Kyler Murray have been, you know, 28 and 28. You know, like he has that type of ceiling in him and he provides a lot more on the ground than what Geno Smith does. And they're not, it'd be different if Kyler Murray was 7K, that I would totally get it, but they're not. He's $6,200. And so, like, I like this offense quite a bit. I mean, whether you stack him with Trey McBride, Marvin Harrison, whatever you want to do there. Like, I really like Kyler Murray a lot. Like, he continually is just undervalued. Like, everybody just looks past him and doesn't want to play him. So I do like Kyler Murray a lot at 6,200, especially if Geno Smith is going to be. Hey, that's what it seems like. Geno Smith is going to be one of the highest owned quarterbacks on the slate, maybe the highest owned quarterback on the slate, which just seems a little much to me on that one. So I prefer Kyler Murray over him. And so for me, I think it's going to be like I said, I like the Mahomes call. I definitely want a piece of this Detroit Indy game. It's probably going to be one of my main focuses going to come. And then, like I said, I think Kyler Murray is the other one that I really like. And then Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix definitely deserves some flowers here. In a game last week where they absolutely boat raced the Falcons 38-6, he threw 33 times and 307 yards, four scores. And there's no reason he couldn't do this again against the Raiders, who, and this is a Raiders team that is extremely banged up. We're down to Dylan Lobby and Amir Abdullah at running back for this team. And so this is a really good spot for Bo Nix as well. It's a pretty consolidated offense for the most part. I think you really just want to stack him with Cortland Sutton here. He also provides something with his legs. He hasn't done it, as much lately. But I think Bo Nix, it's really hard to get away from as well as he's been playing.
Yeah, Bo's been so fun, man. To be able to, get him under the radar, it's absolutely incredible after he just did what he did on an afternoon slate that really went overlooked, I felt like, because of what Detroit did. So that was unfortunate. But yeah, finds himself in yet again another spot, and he's a fun guy to play because you'd only have to pair him with, maybe one guy and that's about it. All right, before we move on to running back so we can keep this going, guys, just real quickly, Kev, who are your three favorite quarterbacks you're targeting this week?
It's going to be Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, and I'll just go with Mahomes. Like, I have no problem with Goff either on the other side of it, but I love that game environment. But yeah, I think those would be the three.
Maddie, do you have three?
Yeah, I would say Mahomes 1, Geno 2, Drake May 3.
Yeah, and I think for me it's Geno, May, and then probably Murray just because I love that afternoon game so much, makes it easy. We really didn't talk about it, but I think Baker's interesting as well, too. He's just been off of the main slate for so long, I think people forget. But yeah, I think the 6K – 5,500 and up to like 6K, outside of Mahomes, I guess I'm going to put him in the top tier. Like is pretty interesting, I think. But yeah, I think for me, it's that Seattle Arizona game is nuts. And then speaking of which, like, let's talk about running backs, boys, because, Kev, to your point, I think if you're playing down at quarterback to one of these cheap guys, you just have to jam in these studs at the top at the running back position. If that's your move, Christian McCaffrey, 8,500 with Brandon Allen, I can only expect that they're going to try and get him at minimum 22 touches, if not more, in this matchup against Green Bay, which this San Fran Green Bay rivalry is pretty live. They've knocked them out of the playoffs 3 of the past 5 years. So for Purdy to, miss this game is, I'm sure Green Bay fans are super excited about that home game there. Have Green Bay kind of right the ship as they're just coming off that big win against Chicago, and then get to face a Brock Purdy-less San Fran. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey should be heavily involved. Mixon, I mean, this Mixon's been so fucking good this year. Like, he's been overlooked by what, Derrick Henry and Saquon are doing in their new spots, and he's missed some games with injury, but like, just reminded us, going against a Dallas team, like what he's got in the tank, and honestly has been carrying this offense through the entire year, as CJ Stroud's been struggling and the receivers have been in and out of the lineup, and Mixon's kind of been that staple for him. He gets a great Tennessee matchup here at 8K. I'm sure he's going to project well, and definitely one who I want to, get into my builds. Devon Achane has just absolutely been incredible, like pretty much since he's joined the Dolphins. This guy is just, he really should be priced in the 8K range, and they just refuse to get him up to that level. So I'm going to say that he's undervalued until he gets to that point. But like, he just has such a high workload in this offense from a running game standpoint and passing game standpoint. And when we're doing draft season, like, That's why you were drafting Devon Achane, because of his role. You know, he like Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's right priced under him, so we'll talk about him. But like with Devon Achane, like because of Mostert not being a factor there on a ground game, it just makes him so much more valuable. We were seeing Mostert kind of spell him last year in those touches and made it, you know, frustrating for his upside for ceiling. But now that that's out of the picture, like, I don't know how you don't start your lineups with Devon Achane at 7,500. It's just, he's just underpriced. And then Jahmyr Gibbs is a fun guy to talk about. He's 7,300. He's always going to be my favorite Detroit player to get to. He's been incredible, like in spot, you know, even in spots like last week when the whole offense shines, he's still able to put up close to 20 points on, you know, not a full workload, so to speak. I mean, he only caught one pass last week and was able to take it for 54 yards. Like, this guy's just, we can just always pencil him in for, you know, 3, 4, 5 targets a game. And what he's able to do as well is spelling the workload. Like, David Montgomery is so reliant on the touchdowns that I just love Jahmyr Gibbs's output on DraftKings every week. And when this team's expected to score 30 points, like, he's just the guy that I always eye and get to. So where I can't get, you know, maybe maybe Mixon and Achane on teams together, if I need to just save a couple hundred dollars, like $700 down from Mixon to Gibbs, I'm happy to do so, because it gets me exposure to that game, and I just like his profile. Those are the guys for me, you know, kind of in that 6,500 range and above that I'm looking to target. Have a ton of interest in James Conner. Like, he's the first one in my lineups for that game environment of Seattle and Arizona. Whether I'm playing Kyler or Geno, I'm going to play James Conner on the other side. He has such a strong workload, and I know he hasn't gotten there maybe from a multiplier perspective, but when you look at, you know, what he's done in the role in this offense, especially in wins and in close games, like he's got a strong floor there. And, you know, 20 points or more in 4 games of the season. And actually, you know, putting up 20 points when Kyler has gone, you know, nuclear as well this year. So playing Kyler and Connor together makes a ton of sense to me. Love Kareem Hunt. Hate that Isaiah Pacheco got ruled out, though I knew it was a possibility, but I just thought that his ownership would be a little bit less if people were fearing that, you know, Pacheco was going to get some work against him. But Hunt against Carolina, you know, defense, need I say more? Then right below him, you got Brian Robinson Jr., 5,600 against a Dallas defense. Like, what else is there left to be said? I know that, you know, the crazy thing is, like, you know, people look at the game logs and look at what Eckler did against Philly and look at just how much work of that came in the passing game, you know, which is like, yeah, okay, that's really not Brian Robinson's MO. He does get a couple passes there, but like Eckler is just utilized as the other wide receiver. That's fine. But if the Commanders are able to control this game, like, they have no problem getting Brian Robinson the ball when they get into that red zone, when they get into that green zone, 10 yards or closer, absolutely incredible. It's going to take me, you know, a little bit of convincing to get to the Tampa Bay, you know, running backs, which I think are going to start to catch steam here as we get into the weekend and beyond. You know, I don't necessarily mind them, just don't know if you need to get there. And that pretty much wraps it up for me. I mean, I'm honestly pretty straightforward at running back. I want, you know, one or two of those 7K guys if I can fit them, potentially getting into a 5K guy if I can, because I'm liking the 3 running back builds this week. But, you know, it's going to be pretty straightforward, and I'm going to, you know, kind of build around my quarterbacks and, you know, get different elsewhere at wide receiver. Maddie, what are you doing this week with your builds at running back?
Yeah, running back straightforward for me as well. McCaffrey at the top is the obvious one. I mean, really any of these guys that are priced up are in good spots and have great workloads. I mean, McCaffrey, Mixon, Achane, and Gibbs, you can play any of those guys. Kenneth Walker, you can absolutely play him at home against Arizona. And then down in the little bit lower tier, Kareem Hunt, we talked about him. I think he's a smash at 5,700. I love the Brian Robinson call at 5,600. You know, he's their touchdown guy, even though he's not heavily utilized in the pass game. So if you think Washington rolls, you know, 20 carries and a couple of touchdowns for Robinson is definitely in the range of outcomes. And then you mentioned it briefly, but I don't know if you guys are playing Amir Abdullah, but he's definitely interesting at 4,300 or 4,500, whatever it is down there in the 4K range. I mean, he's pretty likely to get you 10 plus points, but I mean, what's his ceiling?
Yeah. 10. I don't he
scored last week, so
yeah. No, he's a weird one, man. He's you know, he's been a pain in the fantasy community for quite some time. So of course this will be a week that he pops off, because it'll be needed, you know, somebody's gonna have to for LV, right, to keep him in the game.
Yeah. I just don't know if he's built for a feature back role, but you know, even if he's not, I mean, he's their pass catching running back between those guys that are out left, you know, out there. So
I mean, that's why I think, I mean, Dylan Lobby, I mean, he's 4K, he's cheaper, was probably one of the best receiving running backs coming out of this year's draft. I mean, I think he caught like 50 or 60 balls at New Hampshire. Now it is New Hampshire, so like, but he was somebody that a lot of the draft people loved this offseason, heading into this year, thought that he could, if he landed in the right spot. The problem with him is that his first NFL carry fumbled, so that wasn't good. And so, like, he really hasn't had any run at all this year. So this is kind of fresh.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All the reports says that, you know, the Raiders have, you know, really been impressed with what they've done in practice and everything else. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's it could be a 50-50 split. Like, it could go so many different directions. It's also not a good matchup, I guess.
It does feel pretty thin.
Right.
But so, like, I don't really have a good read on which way that game could go. So I think it makes sense because obviously a 4K running back, but, you know, usage wise, like who knows?
Right.
Like how it goes. And like, there's just enough cheap running backs. Like, I don't think you really need
it. Yeah. I don't think you need it either.
Yeah. So like, I just look at some of these running backs and like paying up, like Devon Achane continues to be, you know, easily one of the best plays just because of his usage that he's seeing now, his involved in the passing game. It's just been incredible. So he's live every single week because of the ceiling. I think Kenneth Walker is definitely in play at $6,900. It's a pretty favorable matchup for him, or a decent matchup for him. Obviously super explosive running back as well. So I do like Kenneth Walker at home at $6,900. I think Josh Jacobs becomes interesting because of, you know, if the 49ers can't get a whole lot going.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think that he makes a lot of sense. It's not a bad matchup against San Francisco. We're starting to see him actually be a little bit more involved in the passing game. That was what was frustrating with him, you know, early in the season, that he really wasn't involved in the passing game. He wasn't scoring touchdowns either, but that's kind of changed over the last few weeks, where he has scored a touchdown in two of the last three games, and he's also seen five or more targets in two of the last four games as well. So he's starting to become, and we've seen it, like he scored 20, 28, and then 23.4 DK points. So his game environment feels pretty good. It feels kind of like maybe what it could end up being like the Chicago game, like last week, where he sees a pretty heavy workload in that game. So I think Josh Jacobs is definitely live at $6,800, especially now with Brock Purdy, you know, now being out of this game. I think he's just too cheap for what the type of upside that he has. I do agree with Connor. Connor's just frustrating because he doesn't just provide a ceiling. It's pretty much been around that 19 to 20, which, if the week goes that way and there's not a lot of high scoring running backs, right, yeah, he can definitely pay it off. But if not, like, I just find it a little bit more difficult for him to reach that path. Now, in terms of the guys that are a little bit lower, I still really love Tyrone Tracy this week at 6K. Like, I feel like that he is still too cheap. It is still a really good matchup against the Bucks. The Bucks' run defense is really bad. 4.7 yards per carry over the last six games. That's for this ninth. But they've also had the 12th high explosive run rate. They're also last in missed tackles forced per attempt. The 1.80 yards before contact per attempt is the ninth highest rate in the league. So they've also had the sixth most PPR points. We also had Brian Daboll talking this week that one of their main goals this week is going to be getting Tyrone Tracy well more involved in the passing game, which he should be. Former wide receiver, played 3 years of wide receiver at Iowa and Purdue. Should have been, and then he finally converted to running back. And so, like, he definitely should be way, way, way more involved in the passing game than what he's been. And so, I think Tyrone Tracy at 6K is 100% in play. Like, it's just a little bit too cheap. And then, I think that if I had to make a decision between the one or the other, it's going to be Bucky Irving. This is such a good spot for Bucky Irving as well. Bucky Irving has been really good this year. Like, he is, and it's not necessarily something I love looking at, but he is second in yards per carry. He's first in explosive run rate among all running backs. A 10.2% explosive run rate is incredible. He's also 11th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 8th in yards after contact per attempt. Like, he's been really good. The Giants have not been very good at all at stopping opposing running backs either. And so it's basically kind of a 50-50 split for the most part. Bucky's playing 45% of the snaps to just over 50% for Rashad White. He's also involved in the passing game at 38% route participation. He's also seeing a 10% target share. So, like, I just think it's a really good spot here for Bucky Irving. And even if he's a little chalky, I think that that's just incredibly too cheap for the upside that he is. And, like, this feels like good chalk that you can eat.
Yeah, I can get behind the Bucky Irving play a little bit. It is frustrating to have Rashad White be involved there, but you know they've had some time to kind of get some things worked out, and Bucky Irving has shown some explosiveness, you know, this season. And Sean Tucker seems to be an afterthought, so you're really only fighting with two of those guys or one or the other in that situation there. Yeah, it's a fun slate to talk about at running back. I like you shouting out all those guys, Kev, who could go under the radar, because I do think, you know, there are some great pivot points off of guys who will be extremely popular just because there's not that many spots that I feel like people want to go. To be straightforward, the other thing to mention real quickly at running back before we move to wide receiver is that DeAndre Swift's been dealing with a groin all week. Now, this is the probably second or worst matchup for running backs as it stands on paper, any analytic that you want to look into. But Rashawn Johnson, you know, has been involved, especially from the goal line back. Now, they've only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns on the year. So, again, very thin. But he could just be the guy who's out there for them. You know, they have some injuries that they're dealing with to other running backs on the depth chart. So just an interesting call out there. Because he'll be in the mix, I guess, to consider, but on paper, it feels like a rough one to go.
The only thing I want to say too is, like, at least something to monitor, because this time of the year, we definitely should be starting to monitor this stuff, is weather. And right now, the only game that looks like a concern is actually the Tampa Bay and the Giants game. They're saying it could be a bit breezy, sustained winds, maybe just a hair or under 15 miles an hour with gusts up to 30 miles an hour. See how that plays out. Like, I'm not – like, if it definitely could drop, you know. But if it were to go up to 20 miles an hour winds, as we know, once it gets to 20 miles an hour, you pretty much are out on passing games. And then it just becomes way more that you just want to play the rushing attack from both of those two teams. So I just wanted to mention that. That's definitely something to keep in mind, or definitely, at least monitor.
Definitely. No. For sure. This is definitely the time that we want to start paying attention to wind, wind especially, and then the elements secondarily as we start to build out our lineups, which did come into play a little bit for the showdown slate on Thursday for anybody who was playing that. But Let's talk wide receivers for the Week 12 main slate, boys. And shout out to everybody who's been rocking along with us, getting your questions in, getting your comments in. We appreciate the interactions always, and love to see that the DGEN Nation family is here on a Friday night getting after it with us as we talk about these builds that we're doing on DraftKings for the Week 12 main slate. Wide receiver is a fun one. You know, again, we don't have like really any slam dunk superstar plays, you know, necessarily, I guess, that are just can't miss. But, like, you know, obviously Amon-Ra is up there at the top at 8,300. He just popped off. Like, how many times do we see Amon-Ra go two in a row? Like, of course, this will be it. And in the game environment sets up as such, he's 8,300. But you know how you have to play Amon-Ra. He's a volume guy. Like, you gotta stack it up appropriately in order to play him. I don't have really much interest in playing him as a one-off. Said so last week. And, you know, I mean, 40 points would have been nice, but you needed that Jared Goff 40 burger to go along with it in order to have yourself feel good. Jefferson is an interesting one. He's 8,100. You know, this is a road game for him. Darnold's definitely has not been playing up to the way he was earlier on in the season, which has been frustrating. But, again, this could be an interesting game Bears defense will be popular, and we won't talk about them yet, but he does make an interesting leverage point as a guy who I feel like will go overlooked. And Jefferson has had some pretty stellar games against Chicago in his tenure with Minnesota. He's actually missed a couple of the past couple matchups with injuries. But, you know, there was a time there where it was like 100 yards and or a touchdown. You bank that in with him against the secondary. You know, I think we guys in the secondary have come into their own. Jalen Johnson, of course, being one of them, who I expect to see a lot of Jefferson in this game to be able to lock him down. But just an interesting call out there. Like, anytime Jefferson faces the Bears, I'm always curious to see what his final box score is going to be. The Houston pass catchers have been tough to trust, but Nico Collins, again, he'd had that first game back against Dallas, gets another matchup here against Tennessee, who had been a very strong secondary, but they've been dealing with injuries in their secondary as well too, so it could be a little bit more favorable matchup. CJ Stroud is going to be an interesting leverage point, I think, for me, just how high I am on Mixon. It's been a tough offensive trust, but they are at home, and you know it could be a get right spot anytime. Obviously, if I'm playing Geno, like, the first place I start is just Metcalf and Jackson and locking those two guys in with their production. Ironically, like, I'm pretty sure Jackson dropped in price. And if I'm not mistaken, Metcalf might have too this week. And I just didn't understand that off of the games that they just played. It really didn't make any sense. But 6,300 for Jackson, 6,600 for Metcalf, paying, 5,900 for Geno, it makes an easy stack. This production is just going to both of these guys, and I'm happy to play them both in Geno doubles. Marvin Harrison Jr. is an interesting, piece. At 6,100, I almost rather play him with Kyler than take him as a one-off in a Geno double game stack. But he definitely, has upside that I feel like will go overlooked against the Seattle team. And kind of at a cheaper price tag than we've seen him at earlier this season and catching steam, and has some big games when Kyler has popped off as well too. So that could be fun. I'm curious to hear you guys, if you're interested in, and Kev, you probably more so because Anthony Richardson was in your quarterbacks, but like how you guys are treating this Indy situation. Alec Pierce actually dropped in price this week and had a decent game for what he was coming in at, like 53 or 5,400 last week. Excuse me. Now he's 4,900, and like he has the big playability against this Detroit team to be able to take the top off. I think, Downs is at 62, which seems reasonable. And I feel like he's definitely, it's not the situation where it was early in the year where Downs wasn't able to get work from Richardson because Richardson was so bad. Now that Richardson's been a little bit better, Downs is still in the mix. Pittman's the odd man out for me. Like, he just hasn't been able to trust, but I think Alec Pierce really has some legs at 4,900 to, be a nice piece for your teams where, and we know like he can do it on just limited work, similar to a guy like Jameson Williams, and he just isn't priced as such, actually losing on his price tag, which is just crazy. You know, interest in DeAndre Hopkins at 5,400. I feel like that's just too cheap for him to match up. Roma Dunze at 4,800 in a matchup against Minnesota is, you know, phenomenal to me. He's been coming up strong the past couple of games, actually the leading Bears wide receiver, which is just hilarious to talk about. But has a rapport with Caleb, and I think they'll need to pass a lot in this game. I mean, even DJ Moore, like, he's 5,500 now, and they tried to utilize him so much in the offense last week, even as a running back. He could be interesting for me if DeAndre Swift is out, because I could see them utilizing him even more in like a Deebo Samuel type of role. And 5,500 is just, you know, too cheap for DJ Moore. And then in the $3,000 range, Maddie, before I pass it over to you, I am interested in the Patriots pass catchers who are in this range. So like Kendrick Bourne, he has a $500 price bump from last week, but 3,600. And then Kashawn Booty, who was the pretty much like the chalk cheap guy of the week, you know, last week, and, you know, obviously didn't win any tournaments. I don't think he was in that winning lineup on the Millie, but, you know, just kind of didn't get there. Kendrick Bourne actually was taking over that role, but he still had a decent enough role to be worked in. So I'm interested in going back to the well when he's not going to be popular, my Drake May stacks. How are you looking at attacking the wide receiver slate this week, Maddie?
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on the Chiefs real quick. I mean, we already talked about it briefly, so I'll just be quick. I mean, Worthy's 5K, Hopkins is 5'4". You know, Juju's back in the fold. There's just a lot of good Chiefs receivers to like this week. Outside of that, Ryan, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on the Bears. I know you mentioned, you know, this is quite possibly the worst rush matchup, you know, for any offense. Yeah. Swift is banged up. I mean, is there just a spike in volume with DJ Moore and Rome and Keenan Allen? I mean, they're all priced down. They're all really affordable. I mean, do we just see, you know, and Minnesota's been very bad against receivers this year. So, like, do we just see a lot of, you know, maybe like screens and quick passes and, you know, these guys, DJ Moore gets 15 targets and Rome gets 10? I mean, is that like, can that be an extension of the run game?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, if Swift is out, like, I think DJ Moore for me just he just falls into my teams, because the more that I think about it, like, he's that first read option for Caleb in that screen game. You saw them design handoffs just to get the ball in DJ Moore's hands a lot more. Like, Rome is definitely relied on for, you know, the getting to the sticks, doing the hook routes, doing the 10-yard outs, and, you know, going deep and being relied for on third down conversions. Like, you know, if you're game stack in the game, I definitely want to have Rome and Dunze in there. But yeah, as a one-off perspective, I think DJ Moore is definitely that guy. And like, you know, if we were talking about this at the beginning of the year, like, regardless of how, you know, the Bears season has gone or anything like that, like, this, they're on a losing streak. I don't want to say a must win, but like, they definitely need a win to kind of right the ship. And like, getting it to a $5,500 DJ Moore, like, if we said he was 5,500 at some point this season, we would have been like, what the fuck is going on? So yeah, he's really, really interesting. If Swift isn't out there, he's still interesting if Swift is, just because of the bad matchup. But like, really,
are you worried about how they utilize him though? Like, because like last week, like, his ADOT was like 0.63.
But that's
6'3".
Yeah,
that's kind of the argument though, is if Swift is banged up, right? Like, that's how they're going to use
Swift. Said today that he's playing. So like, Swift.
But still, it's still a horrible matchup.
The one I would be more like excited about is if Keenan Allen doesn't play. Keenan Allen hurt himself today, though. He said he probably thinks he'll be able to play. But
I think he'll play.
Like, I personally, if it was going to be me and I was going to play with him, it would be Rome Odunze, just the way that they played him. Like, it really worries me how they're using DJ Moore. Like I said, I don't know if I've ever seen a wide receiver, like, it's just one game, but like 0.93, like less than a yard of average depth of target is fucking wild. Like, it's just nothing but screens. And it would worry me that they would use them the same way because of the way that the Vikings get pressure on defense. We know how bad that they cannot protect the quarterback there in Chicago. So if I was going to take one, I think for me, it would be Odunze over DJ Moore because of the way that they're utilizing him right now.
Yeah, and I mean, the matchup, I guess, presents itself, and I'll toss it back to you, Maddie, real quick, but I think for me, it's just the matchup would present itself in like in a stack, which we didn't talk about Caleb, but like if somebody was willing to stack, like, yeah, go to Rome there, like first and foremost at 4,800 because he has the chance to get you there. But like, Kev, this is like from a DFS standpoint, like let's just take out the wide receiver, let's take out positions in general. And like if DJ Moore is just going to be peppered with targets, like, yeah, the A dot, I understand that. But if, you know, the team was also blocking on those screens a lot more than they had done previously. So like if they're just trying to get the ball into DJ Moore's hands more, wow, say that 10 times fast. That's just exciting to play because it's like he's just going to have more opportunities to rack up those, you know, what, 1 point bonuses for catching the ball on DraftKings. Right. And if he's able to still get in that, you know, some work downfield, which we know he's capable of doing because we've seen it already with Caleb before. I think the offense was just so broken, taken over for Shane Waldron, that they just simplified so much of everything. And, you know, it was a Green Bay matchup that was a little bit tougher. Like this Vikings team, they should be able to get more shots against them. So that's what makes it intriguing for me. Moore's a better one-off play. I say that for saying that.
I agree. I like both of them, Moore and Rome personally. And we didn't even talk about Caleb. It's just such a funnel spot for good pass production. Yeah. And they're cheap. You know, Caleb's 5'1", and Moore's 5'5", and Rome is 4'8". I mean, that's a free stack, and you can easily fit Jefferson in on the other side if you're going to go in on that. But I like the idea of playing a Bears receiver, you know, as an option. Also in that mid range, somebody who's been probably the most consistent receiver of the last 4 weeks has been Cortland Sutton, and he's not even 6K. Like, yeah. You know, he's either had a touchdown or 100 yards pretty much in every week over the last four, just about, you know, and in those games where he went for 100 yards, he didn't score. You know, you throw on a touchdown or two touchdowns onto those games. I mean, you're looking at almost 40 point games out of him. So, there's definitely a ceiling there for Sutton. Nick's and him have found a connection, and he's less than 6K. So I don't know how you don't have interest in Sutton this week. I like him a ton. Tyreek, we already talked about Miami.
Yeah.
You know, 7,200 for a guy that's got a 35 point ceiling. You know, he scored 29 in week one back when they had a decent matchup and Tua was healthy before, you know, the season went off the rails for them. But, you know, he's still got the speed. I know he's dealing with the wrist injury, but he's, you know, scored a touchdown last week and he looks fine. So I think 7,200 is just too cheap for him. I agree with you, Ryan. I think if I was paying up, probably Justin Jefferson would be my go-to. It's just, I mean, I guess, no, I'd say probably Nico. Nico's at home against Tennessee. That Houston Texans offense needs him. He is like the cog of that offense. And, you know, first play back last week, you know, they throw a screen to him and he houses it and they, you know, call it an ineligible man downfield. So there's definitely upside.
Is it too soon to bring that up?
Too soon. and Nico's not going to be that high owned either. I'm seeing like 10-ish percent on my end. So, you know, 7,600 for Nico Collins, another guy that's got 35 point ceiling. He makes a ton of sense. So, I like Nico up top. I like Jefferson up top. I like Tyreek up top. But other than that, it's Sutton, the Chiefs guys, and then probably one of the Bears receivers for me.
Okay. Kev, where are you at?
I guess I'm going to provide a lot more. So for me, I think there's some really obvious spots to attack with this slate. I think that one, if you're wanting to play the Detroit game, I think going with Josh Downs, I think is definitely the way to go. They have been a slot funnel all year. The Detroit Lions allow the fifth most fantasy points to slot wide receivers this year. Obviously, we know Josh Downs and his role that he comes with this offense. That was kind of one of the things I wanted to see last week was how is he going to, because one thing that really Anthony Richardson struggled with has been some of these like layup easy type passes. Like it's actually with the deep ball that he's done much better at, but he did a really good job with this last week. And, you know, Downs is consistently has been their best wide receiver. He has the highest first read target share of any wide receiver on this team. He's also seeing a 26% overall target share, which is 12th among all wide receivers this year. He's been really good efficiency-wise. The Lions also play man coverage 47% of the time. Downs has scored over 0.7 fantasy points per route run against man coverage, which is top 20 among all wide receivers. So the Lions also play cover three when it comes to zone and cover four over 50% of the time. And Downs has the fifth highest fantasy points per route run against that as well. So it's a really great schematic matchup for Josh Downs, who's $6,200. So I love him. I think another wide receiver that we can look at if you're wanting to play the Arizona Seattle game, I think it's Marvin Harrison, who is way too cheap. Seattle allows the 10th most fantasy points to outside wide receivers. Marvin Harrison doesn't really play a lot in the slot. He has a little bit. I think it's less than 15% of slot play. So I think Marvin Harrison is an easy play there. In that same game, it's JSN. The Cardinals have been an extreme slot funnel this year. They have actually been one of the best against outside wide receivers this year, allowing the fifth fewest fantasy points to outside wide receivers. And we know that JSN is their slot wide receiver. He's run the most routes this year of any wide receiver from the slot. The Arizona Cardinals, like I said, have allowed the fourth most fantasy points to slot wide receivers this year. So, and JSN has just been on an absolute heater as well within this offense. And so JSN, I think, is an easy play at cost at $6,300. I don't think his price is quite caught up to what he should be. He has back-to-back weeks. And last week with DK Metcalf even back, he still out-targeted DK Metcalf. Saw 11 targets last week for JSN. So I really like JSN. Really good spot for him this week as another play. Terry McLaurin, I don't know if we mentioned him, but we should have, because Dallas allows the fourth most fantasy points to outside wide receivers this year. So I do like Terry McLaurin quite a bit, $6,800. He's a little bit cheaper than he was. He was, I think, up at the 7K range there for a little bit. So I do like Terry McLaurin as another option at $6,800 there. I just don't have a ton of interest in playing the super expensive wide receiver this week. Like, I think Nico probably makes the most sense just because the nuclear upside that he presents. We know that CJ Stroud has been much better with Nico Collins than with him off the field. And like I said, Nico Collins, like you already mentioned, should have fucking had a 77-yard touchdown last week. I think the narrative would be completely different about him this week had that play counted, but it didn't. And so I will say Nico Collins also only played 47% of the snaps last week. DeMeco Ryan said this week that they expect to get him well more involved. They're going to ramp him up even more. But and it is a home game, so you know we are inside the dome there, so that is a positive. But $7,600 for Nico, I definitely, if I was going to pay up, he's the guy that I would want to pay up for. Calvin Ridley also on the same game. I do like Calvin Ridley. He's seen an absolute elite 33% target share since DeAndre Hopkins was traded. He's also seen a 40% first read target share, which ranks third among all wide receivers, only trailing Malik Nabers and Juwan Jennings. And he's also seen a 51% air yard share and is averaging nearly 15 yards per reception right now. So this is a good matchup. The Texans allow the 12th most fantasy points to outside wide receivers. And over the last 6 weeks, the Texans have yielded the 12th highest yards per reception and the sixth most receiving yards and touchdowns to wide receivers. So I think Ridley is also in play here with this team. You know, we know that he's going to see a heavy target share. So I like Calvin Ridley as well at that cost. So if you're wanting like a little mini sack of Nico and Calvin Ridley, I do like that as well. So I think all of those wide receivers make some sense. Like, I wish I could make a case for someone like Jaylen Waddle, but I'm tired of chasing this Miami offense every single week thinking that something's going to happen. I think a lot of this is what we're seeing is Devon Achane has taken away so much because they're utilizing him so much in the passing game that it's kind of killed everybody else. But I will say, the last time these teams played, which things could change, but like I said, Christian Gonzalez pretty much shadow covered to Tyreek Hill in that game, and Jaylen Waddle saw 8 targets in that game, and he's $5,300. But it just feels really chasey at this point. I guess at some point it's probably going to hit, but maybe this is the time that it finally happens. But and then again, if I'm going to play a Chicago wide receiver, it's going to be Roma Dunze. We talked about, you know, DJ Moore. DJ Moore saw 7 targets. Roma Dunze saw 10. So, like, he is emerging as this team's, and in my opinion, he's this team's best wide receiver. Like, he is their most talented wide receiver. He should be their alpha. He should be their number one wide receiver. I like DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore is awesome, but he's not as good as Roma Dunze, and Keenan Allen should just be sitting on the bench. Like, ghost of Keenan Allen out there running routes. Like, it just doesn't need to happen anymore. But Rome Odunze at $4,800, I think, can get by with that cost. In terms of, like, cheap wide receivers, I don't know if there's a lot of, like, just, like, obvious, like, really cheap guys that you could look at. You know, DeMario Douglas has, like, a safe floor. Doesn't really have a ceiling at $4,500. You know, maybe, you know, can Nick Westbrook or Keenan just keep this Will Fuller-esque type touchdown run that he's on?
Fuller, yeah.
At $4,100. Devon Vele always is kind of interesting, but again, just doesn't really necessarily see the type of overall target share that you want to see. But he has scored, you know, back-to-back weeks, double-digit DK points, and he's sub 4K. You could look there, but the one that hurts my soul the most is Juwan Jennings, because this was setting up to be a smash matchup for Juwan Jennings, because he's incredibly too cheap for what he's been. But I just don't know if you can trust it. But he has been this team's best wide receiver. He has been better than Deebo Samuel at this point. He's been an alpha wide receiver. He leads the team with a 34% first read target share, 25% target share overall. He's fourth in yards per out run, ninth in yards per team pass attempt. I mean, he's just been been one of the best options. And it's the best schematic matchup too on this game, because he runs 50% of his routes from the slot. And the Packers have allowed the 12th most PPR points, or 12 most DK points, to wide receivers this year. So, but I still know if you can get there now with Brandon Allen being out there.
Yeah, it's tough to get to that San Fran offense in general, I guess, outside of McCaffrey. But yeah, I agree with you, Kev. Like, I don't get it. Like, $5,600 for what Juwan Jennings has been doing on this season seems outlandish. Yeah, another guy too, and I'm happy you brought up Ridley, because his role has definitely changed immensely with Hopkins being gone. But, you know, I think there is some merit to going back to Jaden Reed potentially at $5,900 in this matchup. I think he had some success in that game last year, the playoff game, where they got knocked out. And, you know, he's $5,900. We know he can be used as a Swiss Army knife. We know what his ceiling is as well too. So if this is a game where they can control, you know, I think that, you know, taking these ancillary pieces like a Josh Jacobs you mentioned when we were talking about running backs, but then also Jaden Reed, you know, I think people will look at the Christian Watson, you know, game last year, and that's just his game. Like, he's going to have those explosive plays from time to time, but from a consistency standpoint, we've been talking about Jaden Reed for a long time this year, and it's kind of gone away, but can remember that he always has that upside as well, and under 6K is too cheap for him. Let's talk about tight ends, boys, as we get close to being able to wrap up the slate. It is a fun slate to talk about. Again, only 10 game slate, but the definite fun one before Thanksgiving. Love how DraftKings has this set up. And then, yeah, just a reminder, guys, as we'll wrap up, we will be talking that Thanksgiving slate with you guys next Tuesday, here live on the channel, bringing in D-Bro from Fantasy Pros. Derek Brown himself will be coming on. We appreciate him for rocking along with us. It's been since week one since we had him, so we're definitely excited to be able to chop up that three-gamer with him, which is always a fun one. I mean, you guys always get on us for maybe being a little long-winded on some of these, but we've been doing a good job to keep it at that 90-minute mark this year. But you can best believe that we'll definitely be over an hour for sure on just the three-game slate.
It might be over 2 hours. I mean, it happens every single time. I don't get it.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
For some reason, we make it last forever.
Well, and if Daniel Jones signs with the Cowboys, I mean, that'll probably be a 25-minute segment just there in and of itself on how we're attacking that team, which we didn't even talk about. CeeDee Lamb at 7,300 this week, getting pepper with targets. I guess he could be an interesting leverage
player. You going to get you a Danny Dimes Cowboys jersey if he signs with the Cowboys?
How about no?
How about no, Scott? Yeah, Tron, three-hour Thanksgiving show, hopefully. I mean, yeah, we give the people what they want. So if you're here rocking with us live, we'll definitely make it happen. So fun. I just get so excited for this time of the year, guys. This is what it's all about, and this is where we've all have found immense success in the past. So gonna be a fun one. As we get to wrap up this week 12 main, so let's talk about the tight end. Tight end's probably one of the lowest one of the most loaded tight end slates I think that we've had in some time, and you guys maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but like all these guys are, you know, in pretty good spots. I mean, I guess George Kittle now with Brandon Allen makes it a little less enticing, but like, you know, Bowers against Denver, Kelsey at 5,800, like that's just enough said for me. But then he gets Carolina, Trey McBride in a good matchup against Seattle at 5,600, like even Cade Otton at 5,500, you know, I think on another slate, he would probably be in play for me, but like, he's just probably going to get wedged out because then we still got like cheap guys, Jonnu Smith coming along strong at 4,100 for Miami. And what should be another good game environment for him, like Hockenson against, you know, the Bears. If Justin Jefferson is being shadowed, like he's only 4,200. Hunter Henry is 4K. And even like a guy like Zach Ertz, you know, at 3,800 against Dallas, like has some steam. Like there's so many ways to go to. Dare I say that I was playing with some builds earlier, boys, where, you know, it had a two tight end running with, you know, had McBride in that Seattle stack. And then Travis Kelce just found his way into the flex. Like it's going to be a fun tight end slate for sure. I'm curious to hear where you guys are going. I mean, for me, you know, I'll probably have a lot of McBride just because of how heavy I am on that game from both angles. Of the standpoint, but Travis Kelce at 5,800, just, you know, I feel like he'll be immensely popular because you can easily get to his salary this week and to just have exposure to the Chiefs in general. Like if people aren't playing Kareem Hunt, they're going to be playing Kelce. They don't want, you know, nobody wants to miss out on the Kelce game. We know how we know what the matchup is going to be speaking to. So he's going to be popular. But yeah, on my Drake May teams, definitely have interest in Hunter Henry. Jonnu Smith is probably my favorite cheap one-off tight end at 4,100. Again, it's like getting exposure to that game and an easy way to do so outside of Devon Achane, of course, but not having to pay the 7,200 for Tyreek Hill. Maddie, what say you at the tight end position and what are you doing this week?
I'm with you 100% on everything you just said. It's Kelce and McBride are the clear two for me, like ignoring price, even factoring in price. Like they're 1A and 1B for me. And then I think it's a pretty big gap. And then I would say Hunter Henry would be my second tier, my second favorite. And then Schoonmaker is interesting for me at min price, 2,500. Yeah. 10 targets last week. Ferg's not going to play.
Wow. So, is he 25? Wow. He is the man. Okay.
Yeah. He's min price. Yeah. Well, 10 targets last week. So, I mean, they're going to be trailing Washington. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him get another 8 to 10. So
yeah, they had another tight end that they were working in. I'm going to forget it now, but from just following along on that showdown slate, and I don't know their depth chart at all. And probably very few people do outside of Dallas. You know, he was peppered. I mean, Shoemaker was peppered with targets throughout that game. So, yeah, any trailing script that they have at a minimum price tight end is definitely going to pop on the radar.
You're talking That's about Brevin Spawn Ford? Is that who we're talking about?
Brevin Spawn Ford, yeah. He was out there catching.
Yeah, he had 5 targets. He caught 4 for 50, 54.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay. Yeah. No. Happy to hear we're on the same page, Maddie. I mean, yeah. Those two guys just profile so well in McBride and Kelce. Mm-hmm. But you know, I guess depending on how the builds go, it can open up some other spots. Kev, what say you for those other open spots? What are you looking at?
I mean, Brock Bowers has to be involved in the conversation. Just coming off a monster game. Really is the only reason it's overshadowed is because of Taysom Hill last week absolutely going nuclear. And,
right.
You know, Johnny Smith, who was cheaper, you know, putting up 34, but or 31. But still, I mean, 16 targets last week for Brock Bowers is just absolutely just
stupid,
ridiculous. Stupid. And it's I mean, he's seen, you know, this is now his fourth game this year where he's seen double-digit targets this year. It's a really consolidated target share between him and Jacoby Myers. And, you know, this game feels a lot like Brock Bowers is once again going to see a lot of targets because you're probably going to have Jacoby Myers gets shadowed by Pat Surtain. And so, you know, I think that Brock Bowers continue to be in play. I mean, that's like wide receiver one type usage that he saw last week and that he's going to continue to see. And, I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, he's arguably, even right now, he's a top 3 or 4 tight end in terms of his talent in the league, if not higher than that. I mean, He is that guy. And so $6,300, like it feels like at this point, like he should be closer to 7K. So I still think that is cheap enough to be able to want to play him. I think TJ Hockenson is also in play at $4,200. Josh Oliver is also out, which is good because for whatever reason, the Vikings decided to, you know, utilize him as a pass catching tight end. But TJ Hockenson at $4,200, I like that spot as well. And then if you're also wanting to pay, I actually like the Luke Schoonemaker call, you know, especially with the role that he has, because clearly the goal is to get the ball out of Cooper Rush's hands as quickly as humanly possible
before he dies.
Yeah. And so,
right.
And now, I mean, not even that, but, the Cowboys, it looks like they're going to be without Zach Martin. Looks like he's probably not going to play. He left last week's game. Like, this could be absolutely brutal. So, like, you could be seeing a lot more targets come Schoonemaker's way. But I also like Theo Johnson at $2,900 as well against Tampa. He has 12 targets his last two games. I know it's a quarterback change, but still, he's $2,900. So I don't mind that either at 29K. And it's actually 2,900, not 29K. And it's also a really good spot. The Bucs do struggle at tight end. And honestly, if Tommy Tremble was out, like, I actually would have some medium interest in Jatavion Sanders, because the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends this year quite a bit. But I just – I'm not – but with it's for whatever reason, because Tommy Tremble has been in the league for a while now and has never done a damn thing. But that's the only time Jatavion Sanders has really played well and really gotten a lot of opportunity is when Tommy Tremble's out. When Tommy Tremble plays, for whatever reason, Jatavion Sanders goes back to just playing a very small role, which is weird because Jatavion Sanders was, you know, they drafted him this year. And so I don't understand what they're doing there with that. But I think, you know, you could look I was thinking about him, but I just don't think I can get there. So,
yeah.
But I do agree with you on the Kelce and McBride call. I mean, McBride, if McBride was scoring, you know, receiving touchdowns, he would be absolutely crushing every single week.
He'd be destroying.
He has zero receiving touchdowns this year. Yeah. He has one that was a fumble recovery that he got the touchdown on, and then he had the rushing touchdown where he took one away from James Conner. So, but he has been really good too this year. So I definitely agree with those calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Fun tight end slate, you know, when we can, you know, talk about multiple players like that. So should be interesting ones to build around. And that brings us to defense, boys, before we wrap up the pod and build a lineup for people on this week 12 main slate for the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like, who can we find cheap defense? Like, $2,500 for the Bears going against Sam Darnold, who's struggling. They're at home. It's the best unit for this team. Hopefully, they're getting a little bit healthier based on the injury report. But they're $2,500, and, like, you know, I'm just gonna start builds with that and see if I have salary to pay up to get to a $3,200 Broncos on the road against Vegas. But I mean, this Broncos team, like, they wreak havoc. They have four more sacks in, I believe, five or six games this season. Forced a couple turnovers. They've been a definite cog. Obviously, you know, I mean. You know, Texans at the top, Commanders at 3,600, 3,500. Like, yeah, if I have the salary, and we could end up having salary to be able to pay up for a defense this week. But for me, I'm just looking at, you know, what my builds can be, you know, optimally by getting to a Bears, who I think will project pretty well, especially at that price tag, but then getting up to the Broncos as well. Maddie, what say you at defense? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good with Bears and Broncos. I also like the Packers.
Yeah, Packers are now definitely live for sure. 2,800. I like that call a lot. Kev?
I'm going to throw one other, or I guess two others in there. One is the Cardinals, like I talked about. I have played the Cardinals quite a few times this year where nobody's wanted to play them, and they've been in this $2,500, $2,600 range, and they've done me well, and I'm going to go right back to that well. So the Cardinals they have scored eight or more DK points, you know, five of the nine games this year, which you want to see that consistency. But really, the thing that I look at the most is the Seahawks have allowed the seventh most sacks. Their offensive line is really bad. The Cardinals have been able to do a pretty good job for the most part of getting pressure. I just think that the Cardinals are a very underrated defense. They're only $2,600. So I do like the Cardinals. I like the Packers call, especially now. Also, the Buccaneers at $3,300. You know, I know it's Tommy DeVito. But this offensive line is absolutely dreadful right now. And so far, the Bucs still bring pressure, one of the highest rates in the league. And I definitely think that that's exactly what Todd Bowles is going to try to do here in this game, is put a lot of pressure on. Andrew Thomas is going to be out. They've the The Giants have allowed the sixth highest pressure rate and the eighth most sacks this year. So I do think that, you know, the Bucs at $3,300, and I agree, like with the Broncos call, I have zero understanding of why the Broncos are $3,200. Like, they should be $3,800. Like, there's like, I don't understand why they're only $3,200. So if I can have the extra, I'm going to play the Broncos.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. I actually do like that Tampa Bay call, Kev. Like, if you look at, you know, who they've been playing before the bye, I mean, what a fucking gauntlet. Like, they had to play Baltimore, Atlanta, KC, and Arrowhead, and then San Fran. And now they've had the bye to, you know, get ready for the Giants. I don't care. I mean, yeah, they probably were game planning, quote unquote, for Danny Dimes. But, like, you know, it's just a matter of, like, how can we just wreak havoc on this Giants team and, you know, a lesser opponent. So that's definitely a fun call there. Boys, let's build a week 12 Millie Maker team. Why don't we? Fun one to get after. And Kev, I think it's on you this week, man, to start the lineup off and let us know how we're building it for the people and for ourselves in the Millie.
I'm going to go Anthony Richardson.
All right, let's do it. Matt, do you want it or?
Go for it. You got it.
Let's go Alec Pierce. Let's get one. Let's get one guy in there.
Amon-Ra.
Josh Downs.
We're full of game stacking, boys. Jahmyr Gibbs.
That's a Millie team there.
We still have 44-25 without tight end and defense in there per position. So
let's go go Kareem Hunt.
Let's just placehold Bears D. They're 2,500, and that gives us 4,750 for tight end and flex, Kev. So take it.
Well, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. Let's just throw Scootermaker in there as the at $2,500. I think it's just go after him, and that leaves 7K in the flex.
Walker.
Walker. Gino. 9.
All right. Well, that fills it out.
Honestly, let's get a little wild here, boys, because I like Connor actually more than Walker. And then we could just, it's 500 left, but we could up to Cardinals D and just say everybody who's playing Seattle, let's just hope that the Cardinals side pops off, gets it to Connor, and then keeps the Geno builds down.
Works for me.
So team as it stands right now, Anthony Richardson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kareem Hunt, Alec Pierce, St. Brown, Josh Downs, Schoonmaker at value, and then James Conner and Cardinals for the late window. $400 left in salary, and we've been building teams that pretty much use the salary or maybe $100 left over, so this kind of separates us just a little bit more there with the $400. I kind of like that build, actually, not going to lie. Fun one, guys. Fun one. Always fun chopping it up with the D-Gen Nation. Always fun chatting it up with Kevin Steele, with Matty D. This has been a fun one, and it's going to be a fun week over here. Like I said, D-Gen Nation pod, we never miss a beat when it comes to this time of the season. We got the main slate for you for week 12. It's in the books. Go back and listen. We appreciate that. Rock along, subscribe to the channel, like the video, do all that jazz. We appreciate the support. Then Tuesday, next Tuesday, we are going to be recording the Thanksgiving podcast for you guys. That's right. It's just going to be the three game slate that we are talking about. We're going to welcome in Derek Brown from Fantasy Pros at D Bro is where you can find him. And it's going to be a fun one. We're going to be going back and forth. I can't wait to see the battles that him and Kevin get into over a three game slate that helps to get us to that 2 hour mark, maybe the 3 hour mark for some of our favorite listeners. But you know, we're going to be coming with the heat. We're going to be excited to build those teams for you guys. And then again, we'll be back on Friday of next week to break down the week 13 main slate, as we'll be, you know, kind of at the home stretch there for games rest of the season. People get ready for fantasy playoffs and everything like that. It'll be fun. We'll miss out on the Black Friday game, I guess, this year to cover. But if you guys are in the Discord, hopefully we can chat along with that and have some fun. some fun showdown holiday stuff to get after. A couple showdown slates this week, boys. It's gonna be fun. This is a fun time of the year. We appreciate everybody rocking along with us all year. Boys, got any final words for the people?
Go Chiefs.
I love it. Kev?
Enjoy your weekend because, you know, we got a lot of football coming up over the next, over the next week, you know, because we get the weekend slate and then get the Thursday game, the Friday game, and then, you know, the Island games plus the, the main slate again. And then so we got a lot of football coming up over the next week. So that's always exciting.
That's right. Yeah. You guys make sure you're being good with your bankroll or just, you know, keep loading up on the site because we'll have a lot of games to target. But it starts with Sunday. So Sunday, you guys can, like I said, fatten those pockets, get that bankroll right and make it a fun holiday week where you're neglecting your family to enjoy time with football where it should be spent on the Thanksgiving holiday. Signing off for the boys as we wrap up the Week 12 Main Slate podcast here on the DJ Nation, powered by the Fantasy Authority. Kevin Steele, you heard from him, and you can follow him on Twitter and X at FantasyRat13. Matty D, Matty Gets Buckets, Matty 2v2 at Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. And myself, Ryan Williams, you can find me on Twitter and X at Ryan_W. We can't wait to chat it up with you guys very soon. Until then, get that money. Peace.
Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a breaks, boy. Yeah, that's a breaks, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.